Christ explains, we extend the boundaries of cities as follows. A rectangular shaped city is left as is. A circle shaped city is extended to make right angles that square can hold, a square that can hold that circle. A square city is not given corners. A city that's wide on one end and narrow on the other end is given boundaries as if it's equally as wide on both sides. If the city has a house that protrudes like a tower, or two houses that so protrude, we make the boundary as if the entire city extends the distance of the protruding house. A city shaped like a bow, like a U, or like an upside down and a backwards L, we view the city as if the empty space in the middle are filled with houses, and we measure 2,000 amos from the edge of the imaginary filled in middle. What does Bryson mean a rectangular city is left as is? Obviously that's so. The Gemara says we would have thought to extend it to make it into a square. In fact, the Gemara, obviously a square city is not given corners. What does the Bryson mean? The Gemara says the Mishnah is discussing a square city whose sides are not aligned with the direction of the world. It's not a square when looking at it from north to south, but rather the diamond when you look at it like that. We would think to enclose a diamond in a square that's aligned with the directions of the world. The Mishnah teaches we don't do so. In fact, the Gemara, if when one house protrudes, we extend the boundary of the entire city. When two houses protrude, obviously we do so. So what's Bryson teaching? The Gemara says the Mishnah is discussing where a house protrudes on two sides of the city. We would think that the boundary may only be extended on one side, not on two. Bryce therefore teaches extended on both sides. Rav Huna said, if the distance between the two ends of the bow, the ends of the U, is less than 4,000 amos, we measure the tchum for the city from this imaginary bowstring that would go across the bow. If it's more than 4,000 amos, the tchum begins at the boundary of the actual city. Rav Huna tells elsewhere that if the middle of the city was destroyed, said an effect that has become two cities with a gap in between. If the gap is 141 and a third amos or less, it's still considered one city. More than that makes them two separate cities. How can it be that here he allows up to 4,000 amos? Rabbi Barula said, in the case of the destroyed section, there's a space through and through. In the case of the bow-shaped city, the city is still attached. Rav Huna is teaching there that each city is allowed an open area of 70 and two-thirds amos at the edge of the boundary of Karfif and still considered part of the boundary. But he's already taught that once in the Mishnah, that an area of two Karfifs may exist. He already taught that in a Mishnah, that an area, two Karfifs may exist between two cities, and the cities would still be considered as one for Tchum purposes. But it says both rulings of Rav Huna are necessary. If we would only say the case of the destroyed section of the city, we would say that over there it's allowed because initially it was one city. If we would only say in the case of two separate cities, we would say in that case they used the area for storage and therefore it's considered part of the cities. But in the case of a destroyed section, it was never used for storage, so maybe it should be separate and then make them into two cities. In fact, Amara, how much space may there be between the imaginary bowstring and the bow? So Rabbi Rav Huna said there may be up to 2,000 amos. His son Rav said there can be even more than 2,000 amos. Abai said Rav's view makes sense because a person can anyway walk around the bow to the other edge of the city and avoid walking through it. So it would make no sense to say that more than 2,000 amos is in the middle is problematic. Mishnah said Hayusham Gududiyayis Givoyes Asar Tvachim Vechulu. Yehuda said the runes referred to in the Mishnah have at least three walls but no roof. Rekhtemar, what if a rune has two walls but has a roof? Would that extend the city's boundaries? Mar says a Braisa lists many things that do and many things that do not extend the boundary of a city. One listed as not extending the boundary is a building in a cemetery that's missing two opposite walls. Presumably this means it has two walls and a roof, and yet we see it doesn't extend the boundary. Mar says it's not a valid proof because it could be the Bryce is referring to a building that has no roof. In fact, the Bryce says that a single house on an island extends the boundary of a nearby city. What can such a house be used for? People wouldn't live on an island alone. Papa said it's a house that's used for storing a ship's utensils when they're not in use. In fact, the Bryce says that a cave doesn't extend a city's boundaries. Or Chia taught the Bryce that it does. Abaye said his Bryce is discussing a case where there's a building at the opening of the cave. That's why it extends the boundary. In fact, if so, the Bryce should say that the boundary gets extended on account of the building. The Mishnah says the case is where the building is not 4x4 amos unless you take the cave into account. Huna says people who live in huts start counting the 2,000 amos from right outside their hut. The fact that there may be a hut community doesn't make it into a city. If Chista asked, the encampment of the Yid in the Midbar encompassed an area of more than 2,000 amos over there was huts. And yet we learn when someone needed to relieve himself, he had to walk to the back of the encampment. Given that they lived in temporary dwellings in the Midbar, the Tchum should have started at their doors, in which case they should not have been able to go out to the bathroom. Rava said since the encampments moved and stopped only al Pi Hashem, they were considered to be significant and therefore permanent, and therefore the Tchum started from the outside of the Machane. Rav Chinan bar Kahana and Rav Ashi said if the community has three courtyards and two permanent houses in each, then the entire community becomes a city for Tchum purposes. Rav Yehuda name of Rav said people who live in huts and people who travel in deserts, their lives are not lives, their wives and the children are not theirs. Eliezer Ish Beria says this very similar idea in a Braisa. Why are the children considered to be illegitimate? In fact, Gemar Ula says because the men have to travel far to get to a bathhouse, and when they do, their wives are violated by men since there are no one left in the community to save them. Rav Yechanan says since there are no local mikvahs, the women travel to the mikvah in a group. This results in people knowing about this and the immoral men follow them and possibly violate them. The difference between these reasons is where there's a river nearby that can be used as a mikveh. Rav Huna said a Talmud Chacham may not live in a city that does not have vegetables readily available over there because they're healthy and inexpensive, which allows them to spend more time learning. Rav Brisa says there are three foods that increase excrement and cause a person to hunch over and take away about 1/500th of a person's eyesight. They are bread made from inferior flour, fresh beer, and vegetables. You see, vegetables are not healthy. Rav Huna was referring to garlic and leek. The Brisa was referring to all other vegetables. Like Brisa says, garlic is a healthy vegetable, leek is half as healthy, and radishes are like medicine. Brisa says that radishes are poisonous. Radish leaves are poisonous, but the vegetable itself is not. Even the vegetable part of the radish is only healthy in the summer because it cools down the body. Rabbi Yehuda Neymar Rad said a city that has a lot of hills and valleys caused the people and animals who live there to die halfway through their normal lives. Can we actually say that it caused them to die? Rav Man Zaktimar, that it caused them to age very young. Rabbi Yehuda Yeshua said the steep roads of Biri and Narash have caused me to age very young.